Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we'll discuss the latest in the Freddie Freeman Decision 2022 saga, we'll talk about one of Mookie Betts' body parts, and we'll discuss why National Talk Radio should be taken with several grains of salt. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe in all those places so you'll be notified every day and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans. Just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and in the locker room. So, we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So, again, please subscribe wherever you get podcasts and or on YouTube, and let's talk about the Dodgers. The big news continues to be Freddie Freeman, or the lack of Freddie Freeman news, I guess. As of when I'm recording this at almost 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, Pacific time, Freddie Freeman has still not signed. I will be scrolling Twitter while I'm recording this just in case something happens. But, maybe it's not going to happen tonight. Between the lockout, maybe going to end several times, and then Freeman almost every day, maybe going to sign. We've run into this several times with this podcast that we want to wait as long as we can before we record so in case something happens. And so far, every time I waited until super late, nothing ended up happening that night. So maybe because I'm going a little bit early, maybe this is when something will happen. And by the time you listen to this, maybe we'll know where Freddie Freeman's going. But as of right now, there were reports that said that the Blue Jays liked their chances of getting Freddie Freeman. But the later reports said, the Blue Jays actually feel more confident about getting Kyle Schwarber than Freddie Freeman. Buster only said it was down to the Dodgers and the Yankees, and then the Yankees signed Anthony Rizzo. But John Heyman says that the Yankees are afraid the Red Sox are going to get Freeman. And meanwhile, the Padres are pretending to be interested just to drive up the price for the Dodgers. So who knows what's going on? Reportedly, the Dodgers are offering fewer years but higher dollars. I don't really know if those reports are accurate because the Dodgers are pretty good at not leaking things from their end. And my brother probably wishes he could say the same. I don't know where those leaks are coming from, if they're real or if it's just, it would be logical. That's kind of what we expect from the Dodgers, that they seem to be more concerned about locking into a lot of years than into a lot of money. And so, maybe we've heard 4 years from the Dodgers. We've heard 5 years from the Dodgers. Neither of those would surprise me. And it would kind of explain why Freeman is taking a while, because obviously if the Dodgers were just offering head and shoulders the best deal, he would have taken it at least as soon as the Mets traded or the Braves traded for Matt Olson. But he hasn't accepted the Dodgers offer yet. So it makes sense that maybe it's a shorter deal, but more money per year. And so he's trying to decide. We'll have to see when it actually happens, what the deal was. Twitter is a funny place for people who just pretend to have sources, people you'd never heard of, and they're talking about their sources and stuff. And, I broke news one time. I think I broke news that, Jose De Leon was getting called up by the Dodgers to make his major league debut. That's the only time, and that was enough for me. I got that, 3.5 seconds of fame, and good enough for me. But it's kind of interesting to me. Jeff Passan, I think, is going to come out of all of this. It's kind of the undisputed king of baseball Twitter. We saw it during the lockout. You had Bob Nightingale tweeting a bunch of stuff that turned out to just not be accurate. Basically, he was being spoon-fed from one side or the other and falling for it. So we had a day where we thought Bob Nightingale was reliable, and then it turned out he was just a accidental mouthpiece for ownership. Jeff Passan doesn't tweet progress or rumors or it seems like kind of garbage. He just jumps in and tells us the final deal. He told us when the lockout ended, and he tells us these trades and these free agent signings. And, you know, I've been thinking about it. I think maybe some of it is because he knows that as soon as he reports, you know, some new team interested in Freddie Freeman or whatever, every other schmo will be reaching out to all their contacts in that organization to try to confirm his reports. And they might accidentally scoop him. So, you know, in a way, it's self-preservation, I would think, on his part. Like, I'm not going to tell these people anything I know because I want to be the one to get it first. But whatever it is, it's kind of nice that he doesn't really care about getting all the clicks along the way. He just wants to nail the news. And, you know, I'm going to talk later in this episode about kind of the national baseball pundits, I guess you'd call them, and how they're kind of unreliable on a lot of things. And this is different. This is just breaking news. And we know Ken Rosenthal has sources. I'm on record as saying that Ken Rosenthal is really good at elements of his job. And those elements are the news breaking elements, with some notable missteps along the way. He's the one who reported that the Scherzer to the Padres was nearly done last year. And it turns out that it was never even remotely close. And so, you know, Rosenthal is not immune. And I'm sure Jeff Passan's not immune to it either. I'm sure he's tweeted out a clunker of a rumor at some point, but I don't remember it. And maybe that's arrogant of me that if I don't remember it, it didn't happen. But so I'm just kind of waiting. And the funny thing is, I don't even follow a lot of these. Like, I think Passan and Rosenthal are the only ones I even follow on Twitter. I see Nightingale stuff all the time because people retweet it or quote tweet it or whatever. I see Heyman now that he doesn't have me blocked anymore, although he might again because I tweeted something rude about him the other day. It was true, but it was still rude. But I don't follow him, but I see his stuff retweeted. All these guys who break news. I still follow my buddy Robert Murray, although he doesn't follow me anymore, and I'm kind of offended. But other than that, yeah, I don't follow a lot of them because Jeff Passan is really all I need because I know I'm going to get the important stuff from him, and I know that everybody else is going to retweet the other guys too, so I'll see their stuff. I'm just scrolling while I'm talking before we go to our first break, just to make sure there's not any big news. Nothing yet. At 9:58 p.m. on Tuesday night, Pacific time, still nothing. Nothing from Jeff Passan. I mean, Passan hasn't tweeted much of anything. When was his last tweet? Oh, so he retweeted the news about Anthony Rizzo signing with the Yankees. But Passan's last actual tweet was 11 hours ago about the Braves extending Matt Olson. And that came from a Braves press release. That I think the Braves broke that themselves. Passan tweeted about Andrew McCutchen signing with the Brewers. But Passan has been very quiet today because there hasn't been much actually happening. There's just been rumors and speculation. And Passan doesn't play that game. So I'm going to come back in a minute. There's actual Dodgers news to talk about a little bit, and I'm going to talk about Jimmy Nelson and Mookie Betts and maybe a couple other things. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, are you ready to discover your purpose and leave an impact wherever you go? Mission Possible, written and read by New York Times bestselling author and athlete Tim Tebow, encourages you to find your inspiration, pursue your purpose, and create a life for yourself that counts. Ignite a new spark in your life through this inspirational new listen. Mission Possible by Tim Tebow is available everywhere audiobooks are sold. All right, I am back here on Locked On Dodgers. I want to thank you again for making us your first listen every day. I also want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. It's a great show. Host Lindsey Crosby, he's a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. I really like Lindsey. I really like the show. He knows his stuff. So check it out. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So a little bit of Dodgers news. A couple things that we didn't get to yesterday. Dustin May said that he will be throwing off a mound in about a month and is shooting for a return in the last third of the season. Seems unlikely that we'll see him starting much, but if he can really get back by August or so, that would let him get ramped up enough to at least be an impact player in the postseason, whether that's as a multi-inning reliever or as a, you know, a starter, a piggyback kind of starter. Obviously we're excited to get Dustin May back, and seems like everything is going according to schedule with his rehab. So that's good. Another Dodgers Tommy John surgery from last year, Jimmy Nelson. He was a free agent after last season. He underwent Tommy John surgery in August, and He recently re-signed with the Dodgers, signed a one-year deal with a club option for 2023. With his timeline, he's not going to pitch this year. It's almost 1,000% sure that he's not going to pitch this year. This is all about next year. And so the Dodgers, they signed him to this deal so he can have his, you know, they can be involved in his rehab. He can have his health insurance, all that. But really, this is, you know, assuming everything goes well with his rehab and he comes back strong, the Dodgers will exercise their option and they'll have him in 2023. Well, it's basically the same thing they did last year with Tommy Canley. And, you know, Tommy Canley is now hopefully going to be a big part of the Dodgers bullpen this year. So that's exciting about Jimmy Nelson. I like Jimmy Nelson a lot. I'm excited to have him back next year. So that's good. The other last bit of news that is maybe the biggest news, Mookie Betts was talking about his hip. And basically, he's A-okay. He hasn't had any symptoms in his hip since August. He said, I did some good work to get back healthy, and I'm ready to go. And I don't think you can overstate how important that is to the Dodgers. We've talked a lot here about how last year he just wasn't the same defensively. He wasn't the same offensively. He wasn't the same on the bases. He was still a very, very good player, very valuable to the Dodgers. And it just goes to show what a good player Mookie Betts is, that a diminished Mookie was still, I mean, you know, one of the 20, 25 best players in baseball probably. And that was with a lingering issue the whole year. So if he can really come back healthy, it's going to be huge on defense. It's going to be huge on offense, huge on the bases, everything about it. And, you know, when you look at a team like the Dodgers, where they won 106 games last year, they went to the NLCS again. And that was with Mookie being diminished and Bellinger being terrible. And, you know, Bellinger being out for a lot of the season, Seager missing a huge portion of the season, so much. Now, they lost Seager, yeah, but they have Trey Turner. They're hopefully going to have Freddie Freeman to replace it, but they're going to have a full healthy season, fingers crossed, of Cody Bellinger, a full healthy season of Mookie Betts. Just, it shouldn't be possible for a team that won 106 games to actually maybe get better, but it seems like that's a possibility, and some of it will depend on what they do on the pitching, for sure. And some of it will depend on health. But, you know, the Dodgers had terrible luck last year with health and still won 106 games, second best record in baseball, beat the team with the best record in baseball in the division series. It was a really, really good season, and it hopefully will get better. And, you know, we're kind of spoiled. The Pecota projections came out, and they have the Dodgers at 99.5 wins. And projections never have teams that high. Projections by default, by design, are conservative. They know that there's too many variables. So for have a team like that projected to win 99.5 games means realistically the Dodgers are probably, like, on paper supposed to win 105. And it's crazy. And you know, my son today was asking me, he's like, you know, he listens to this show a lot, and he's a supportive son. I don't know if he likes it or not, but he listens to it. He's big into baseball. He's 15 years old, loves his Dodgers. And he was asking me today, he's like, how is it that the Dodgers keep doing this? How can they continue to, specifically he asked, how did they trade for Mookie Betts and Max Scherzer and Trey Turner and still have a great farm system? And, you know, part of it is depth of the farm system for sure. A lot of it also, you know, there's a financial aspect. You know, the Dodgers were able to give fewer players in exchange for Mookie Betts because they took David Price's contract back with it. So there's some of that. With the Nationals, the Dodgers gave their top two prospects. But, you know, one of them, Keibert Ruiz, was blocked at the major league level and maybe getting ready to get passed up at the minor league level. And so, yeah, he was the Dodgers' second best prospect, but he was expendable because of the nature of the Dodgers' player development system. And Josiah Gray, obviously, hopefully, I still think Josiah Gray is going to end up being pretty darn good. But he also was, you know, the Dodgers have a lot of depth in that starting pitching prospect category, and he was the best of it. And, you know, I think if the Dodgers had been able to get Scherzer and Trey without giving up Josiah Gray, they would have loved to. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have that prospect depth and the depth and the way that prospects help you, there's two ways. Either they come up and turn into Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager and Jock Peterson and Walker Buehler and all these guys who came up through the Dodgers system, even Clayton Kershaw came up through the Dodgers system, were the top prospects and then became the big league core, or they become Alex Verdugo and Josiah Gray and Kaybert Ruiz and these guys who the Dodgers trade to bring in the parts they need. And so, I mean, that's huge, the depth they have. And when you, like the way they do it, like I was talking to Keith Law a couple of weeks ago, if you heard or watched that episode, actually two episodes, if you didn't, you should go back and check them out. But we were talking about how the Dodgers continue to do this year after year. And basically it's all facets of their player development system. They're drafting, they draft smart, you know, they're smart drafters, but they also draft players who they know will fit into their player development system. They have the player development integrated with the entire organization all the way up to the big league level. And so players are getting a consistent voice. They are becoming Dodger players from the day they join the organization. It's just a really well-run operation. And, you know, when you've got things like the luxury tax and you've got revenue sharing and all these things, the Dodgers have found a way to flex their financial might again by, you know, I don't think it's super expensive to have a player development system like the Dodgers have. I think a lot of it comes down to brains more than money, but the money definitely helps. And there's no limits on how much you can spend on player development, basically. And so they are doing that. They have this system and it is working for them. And so, you know, the fact that the Dodgers, oh, by the way, that 99.5 win projection that the Dodgers have from Pecota, that's without Freddie Freeman, and it's without whoever they're going to add to their starting rotation. Like the Dodgers right now, they are not done because they don't have a full starting rotation yet. I'm just scrolling really quick while I talk. So it's, you know, I'm looking at actually these projections. They have Trey Turner projected for 5.5 WAR, Mookie Betts 5.3, Will Smith 4.3, Max Muncy 3.6, Cody Bellinger 3.1. All of those seem kind of conservative, at least those last couple. You know, Muncy and Bellinger, both of those seem very conservative. Will Smith, I wouldn't be shocked to see more than 4.3. I'd put him more in a 5.5 win kind of guy. And Mookie, 5.3. If he's really healthy, there's no way he's not surpassing 5.3. So much potential here for the Dodgers to be better, especially once they add Freddie Freeman, if they do, and once they add a starting pitcher or two, like I'm almost positive they're going to. So anyway, fun time to be a Dodger fan. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk. I've been listening to some talk radio baseball lately. I'll explain why and some of the thoughts I've had while I've been doing that. And it's a spoiler alert. It's not good. But come back for all the reasons why. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Can I please tell you about rockauto.com? If you ever need auto parts, rockauto.com is the place to go to get them. Don't go to the auto parts store. You will pay too much. You'll have to go into an auto parts store, and they're going to have to order the part for you anyway. You need a fuel pump for your Honda Odyssey. It's $353 at the auto parts store. Guess what? It's $216 at Rock Auto. They're a family business. They've been doing this for over 20 years. They don't have special pricing for mechanics. They just give everybody the special pricing. They're going to have what you need. I promise you that. And it's going to cost you less. I legitimately don't understand why anybody would ever go to an auto parts store ever again when rockauto.com exists. I know I won't. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Man, this is a hard episode. I didn't bring my water bottle down with me. I'm like, I've been scrolling Twitter all day. My mouth is dry. I've got, you know, a little bit of Freddie Freeman lust going on, I guess, for lack of a better word. But we're going to power through this. I've been listening to talk radio, baseball talk radio lately, and I'll tell you why. I've been, you know, the last basically week and a half or so with the lockout stuff going on and then with the lockout ending and free agency starting and all that, I spend a lot of time in my car. I've got three kids. You know, one of them drives, so I don't have to drive her very many places, but I do have to drive the other two. My older son just got his learner's permit, so he wants to drive a lot. So I'm in the car just letting him drive me around to practice his driving. And I don't want to miss the Freddie Freeman news or any other baseball news. And so I just, when we get in, I turn on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 89. And that's so that I won't miss any news. But as we do, it's like I have no doubt that these guys who played in the big leagues, they know ball better than I do. They know more about baseball. I know a lot about baseball, but I never played in the big leagues. I never played beyond my senior year in high school. That was it for me. I was a good high school player, and then I was done. But I've watched baseball from the time I was a child. I'm a smart guy. I'm a student of the game, all that. But there are things that they know about the game of baseball that I can't know because I haven't played. Doesn't mean they know all the important stuff, but there are things they know better than I do. But I know the Dodgers better than most of them do, even with their insider status. And that might seem like a bold claim, but it's true. And I've been convinced more and more of that the last week or so listening to these guys. And I remember back in 2017, Harold Reynolds, August of 2017, Harold Reynolds was saying that Chris Taylor shouldn't make the Dodgers postseason roster because he's a right-handed hitter. And they had too many right-handed hitters. And Harold said that with Jock Peterson and Yasiel Puig to platoon, you don't need a guy like Chris Taylor. And mind you, at the time, Puig was like a year and a half into his struggles hitting lefties, so he wasn't really the right-handed half of a platoon anyway. And at that moment, Jock was batting like 169 in AAA. He had been sent down because he was so bad in the big leagues, and he wasn't doing any better in the minor leagues. And Harold Reynolds said that Chris Taylor, who at the time was hitting 306 with a 917 OPS in the major leagues, shouldn't even make the roster. Instead, Puig and Jock should. Now, we all know Jock ended up having a good postseason in 2017, but at that moment, you know, so did Chris Taylor. And at that moment, Harold Reynolds, just all he could see was Chris Taylor hits right-handed, and you know, I know Chris Taylor used to not be good, so I'm assuming he's a fluke. And it really opened up my eyes that, man, Harold Reynolds gets paid to talk about baseball. He played in the big leagues. He was really good. And yet he doesn't know anything about the Dodgers. And it was an eye-opener for me. And I've been hearing a lot of equivalent stuff on the radio the last few days. These national talkers, baseball pundits, whatever you want to call them. And when they're talking, you can tell they really know baseball, but they aren't caught up in the ins and outs of each team. So they end up saying things that sound good, but anybody who's intimately familiar with the team they're talking about can tell it's either nonsense or it's obvious crap. And, you know, that there's been a lot of that with Freddie Freeman stuff. Just people just throwing out without caveat or reservation that the Braves let their best player go. Freddie Freeman is great. Freddie Freeman won the MVP award a year and a half ago. Freddie Freeman is very, very good. But to not even acknowledge the possibility that Ronald Acuna Jr. might be better than Freddie Freeman, he plays a more premium defensive position. Obviously, he was injured last year. But it's like, and maybe it's because the Braves won the World Series without Acuna, and so people think, well, how good could he be? Ronald Acuna Jr. is really good. And, you know, to not even bring him up, just like state as a fact, the Braves let their best player go. And not even acknowledge, oh, they still got a pretty good guy, not to mention Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley and everybody else who they still have. It's really weird. And stuff like that it's like, it's soundbite stuff. And you know, this might end up sounding like an ad, but this is one of the things that I love most about the Locked On Podcast Network. Like, we have a show for every team in all the major sports. You want an expert on the Royals? My buddy Ryland Stiles has you covered on Locked On Royals. You want Rams expertise? Travis Rogers, Locked On Rams. He'll take care of you. Heck, even Javi Reyes from Locked On Padres is going to give you a better take on the Padres than you'll get from Ryan Spielberg or Jim Duquette or any of those guys on the radio or even on MLB Network. Like, there's something to be said for expertise in a team. There's 30 teams. There's 1,200 players in the union. You know, there's less than that on every active roster. I don't know what it used to be easy back when there was 25 man rosters. 25 times 30 is easy. 26 times 30, I guess you just add another 30. So it's 780 active players at any time. There's no way anybody can know about all those people, But you know what? I'm pretty well versed on the 26 guys on the Dodgers current roster. I'm almost as well versed on the 14 other guys on the 40-man roster. Like Vince and I, we know our Dodgers, and you get that from all of our podcasts on this network. I'm really not intending to advertise for the network, but you know, it's what I like. It's you're going to get better information. And I always, when I hear people say, well, I heard on MLB Network, I heard on the radio that whatever, it's like, well, what do those people know? And you know, it's, like I said, they know their baseball, and it can be entertaining to listen to, especially when they're not talking specifics of specific players. I really enjoy hearing Brad Lidge talk about pitching. He knows his stuff. CJ Nitkowski too. They know their stuff talking about pitching. Ryan Spielborgs, I don't know. He's got a, he's kind of funny once in a while. I don't know that he brings much to the table besides that. But you know, when it comes to the specifics about the teams, just remember that the people who cover those teams, who focus on those teams, are going to have better information just by nature of the fact that one person can't know what there is to know about 780 different people. Anyway, it's now 11:17 p.m. where I am, 10:17 Pacific time. Still no news about Freddie Freeman, so I'm going to wrap this episode up. You know, we'll see. Maybe there's news by the time you listen to this. Maybe not. Vince and I said yesterday that surely today's episode would be talking about Freddie Freeman and wherever he signed. Turns out we lied. Freddie Freeman has not signed yet as of this moment, but I think it's the Dodgers. I think I don't see a fit anywhere else. So we'll see what happens. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. For your second listen now, check out Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you are not watching or listening to this show every day, we would love if you would add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you're listening, check us out on YouTube too. Even if you're not watching on YouTube, please subscribe on YouTube. That would be a huge help for us. We are going to start doing some YouTube exclusive content, not full episodes, but you know, we're going to start coming up with some little things to make it worth your while being subscribed to our YouTube channel. We also do giveaways through there once in a while. So check that out. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.